ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீகிருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சகனா பவது சகனோ புனக்து சக வீரியங்கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. So we have seen that Adishankar Bhagavatpada wants to present 15 steps in order to tell us how to be contemplative. And there he uses all those words used by Patanjali Maharishi in Eightfold Limbs of Yoga. And he also has added some more words. And then which perform the 15 limbed steps for being contemplative. And there we have seen Yamaha. And what is Yamaha according to Patanjali Rishihi as a discipline, as a preparatory discipline for knowledge. And at the same time, what is Yamaha as a contemplative step that we have seen. And now we have to go to Niyamaha. We finished Yamaha. And what is Niyamaha according to Patanjali Rishihi? We have to see. Not according to Patanjali Rishi alone. As per the eightfold limbs of yoga, as a preparatory discipline, Niyamaha involves fivefold do's. Things which have to be done. Why? Because unless we practice these five things seriously, there's a possibility of falling down, which means the spiritual growth is not possible without following these fivefold disciplines together, which constitute Niyamaha. And what are those? Well, we are first seeing the Niyama of yoga philosophy. There, the Shaucham, number one is Shaucham. Shaucham means cleanliness. There is Antara Shaucham and Bahya Shaucham. Cleanliness implies keeping everything clean. The body, mind, the words and surroundings, the clothing, the place we live, the food we eat, everything must be clean. And especially, mainly, the bath, the shower, every day, twice a day, one should have shower. If you are living in a hot place, three times, sannyas should have three times. Actually, the bath is not only for physical cleansing, it's also for mental cleansing. It's also because when we involve ourselves in any transaction, we cannot be every transaction helplessly, choicelessly. Makes us have the kama, krodha, lobha, moha, raga, dveshas. We do pick up a layer of raga, dveshas when we involve any transaction. We have some liking or we have some disliking. You can't avoid having likes and dislikes when you involve yourself in any transaction. Therefore, it is very important for us to manage those emotions. And therefore, the Bahya Shaucham is also for Antara Shaucham. External cleanliness is not only for the cleaning the physical body alone, it's also for mental cleansing. That's why when we are having shower also, we don't simply in India, we always chant the mantras, Agamarshanam, Suktam we chant. We also chant some slokas when you are pouring the water on ourselves. And even invoke the first Gange, Chamune, Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jaleesmin, Sannidhim, Kuru, because every river represents Ganga and Ganga represents Jnanam, the wisdom. And therefore the water, we invoke all the rivers in India, all holy rivers, seen as holy rivers. So we invoke the names of all the holy rivers when in a small bucket of water we have in our bathrooms. And then we invoke, then we have shower means. What does it make? It's all completely meaningless. for a person who doesn't understand that. Bhikkha, there's an internal, it implies a prayer. That act of cleansing implies a prayer also. It is, if you see, it's only its act of cleansing. Just pouring water on your physical body. You know, of course, scrub with the soap and things that for cleanse is a different thing. But chanting of these mantras actually for antara shaucham, for internal cleansing. Because shaucham is very, very important. And also keeping everything clean around us is a discipline. Because without having the surroundings clean, the place where we live clean, the food we eat clean. No, clean food means we have to eat only the fresh food. We can't eat 1 week's food, keeping the fridge again and again every day, heating up in microwave and eat. It's also not clean food. Old food, unclean food, and then, etc. So cleanliness is implied by the word shaucham. And you can elaborate on cleanliness, how good it is, we all know. It's not simple hygiene alone. It is more than that. Therefore, cleanliness, shaucham, it's a must. It's something should be followed. It is one of the 5 things to be followed as a niyama. Shaucham. Then, what are the next thing we have? Shaucham. Then, tapas. The tapas actually is austerity, we say. Shaucham, tapas, shaucham. Tapas means self-denial of things willfully. Okay, so willful self-denial of things. And by following certain things like vratam, avrata anushtanam, means practicing some vows and fasting, etc., is deliberately practiced and to say that we can be without many things. Every day we eat food, and one day we can manage our hunger. One day, it is willfully you deny yourself some food. And sometimes we eat food, but you eat without salt, or eat without anything taste, or eat some simple thing which you don't like. Don't like means what? It's not tasty or anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the fasting, and also one day giving up sleep, like on Ekadashi day, we don't eat food. And some Ekadashi, we don't sleep also. Like Shivaratri, once in a year, why don't you keep awake? Because sleep is so important for us. Like that, as a worship, when you do something, and we don't spend that time unnecessarily, we also involve ourselves in praying and all that. So like that, this tapas is mainly following fasting, etc., following certain vows, and willfully denying certain things. One day we sleep underground. Let me sleep without a mattress. In India, it is possible. We sleep on the floor, underground, on a simple mat, not with a mattress, or not a comfortable bed, etc. So, like this, we fall as a two, have certain things, manage without certain things which we regularly use. Willful self-denial of things is called tapas. And is also what? We should do once in a while, we should practice. This also comes under the category of niyamaha. So, shaucham, then tapas. After, we have santoshaha. Santoshaha literally means happiness, but here santosha will be taken as contentment. Contentment means, being able to keep oneself in good humor with whatever one has been blessed with. It's also discipline. Sometimes you make adequate efforts. Maybe you make more efforts also. But still, whatever you get as a result of your efforts, and you don't really brood over what you have not got. And you just simply accept that. And then accepting whatever we are blessed with for our efforts, however and whatever is your efforts, but whatever you get as a result of your efforts, and accepting it, accepting it and being contented with what you're blessed with, the proper attitude, is also what? It's called santoshaha. So contentment. that contentment is possible only if you know that your moksha is something not to be, that what you have got, what you have not got will not deny your moksha. Your moksha is in jnanam, and you are living the life for moksha and jnanam, and whatever now you have got is ordained by Ishvara's prasadam. With this understanding, with prasada buddhihi, you accept it, and you also try to, you are contented, try to be contented with whatever you are blessed with, you have got. That's called actually santoshaha or santushtihi. So, shaucham, tapas, santushti, contentment, and the fourth one is swadhyayaha. Swadhyayaha means make it is a must for everyone to do some parayanam, some chanting of some spiritual literature, some religious literature. And it's not simply the parayanam, and also trying to understand the meaning of at least something. Every day study of the scripture is a must. Swadhyaya implies chanting the scripture, reading the scripture itself is a discipline. And having read it, trying to understand at least for one verse, a meaning of one verse a day is also what? Swadhyaya. So swadhyaya in the self-study of the scriptures implies self-study means not that one should learn by oneself. Self-study means every day make it a point to read the scripture and trying to understand little bit of it. At least some time you spare for understanding something in the scripture. It's called swadhyaya, which is also nitya karma niyamaha. So shaucham, tapas, santushti, and swadhyayaha. And the fifth one, we say, we have, I said five do's. And the fifth one, swadhyayaha, as you have seen, I told about this swadhyaya even before. The swadhyayaha, the study involves two aspects. One is the adhyayanam means just reading the text or chanting the mantras or reciting the verses is swadhyaya. And we have another thing called mimamsa. Mimamsa means you understand having the analytical study of the mantras which you are reading is called what? Is the mimamsa. So swadhyaya involves both this. And doing this, even if you can't do elaborately, at least something must be read every day, and some meaning or some mantra or verse should be understood every day. It is a must. Because Shastra study of the scriptures every day, it makes you remain in touch with, in association with Bhagavan. Therefore, this is also a niyamaha. Swadhyayaha also is a niyamaha. Then the fifth one is Ishvara Pranidhanam. Ishvara Pranidhanam or Nitya Puja actually. Ishvara Pranidhanam means bowing to the Lord or worshipping the Lord or worship of the Lord. Which means it is very important for a spiritual seeker to make it a habit to worship every day. It's a nitya karma and it's a niyama. Why? Because it is the worship alone will help one develop sensitivity. Worship will help one, help one to appreciate the value of dharma. The worship will help one to help one to get Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of dharma. And worship is expressing thanks to Bhagavan. You know that anyway. So worship is very important. And so this also one should do. If you ask, what will happen if I don't follow these disciplines? If I don't follow shaucham, cleanliness, or tapas, etc., what will happen? These five do's, actually the five things which must be followed, constitute the niyamaha of Patanjali Rishi, which itself is a discipline. because this will help one have spiritual development. It will prepare one for spiritual growth. If we do not follow this, and it's not possible for one to become prepared for the spiritual wisdom, or the growth is not possible. Therefore, it is the Niyamaha according to Patanjali Rishi. 5 do's and 5 don'ts constitute Yama and Niyama. That is Niyama there. But what is Niyamaha here as a contemplative step? We have already seen beautifully what is a Yamaha as a contemplative step. And here you see the 105th verse we'll read, wherein Niyamaha as a contemplate step presented by Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada is here in this verse 105. I just read this. Sajja. See, what I have said, that those things are not given in these verses, okay? I'm simply adding so that you will know that. Sajjatiya pravahascha. Vijatiya tiraskritihi. Niyamo hi paranandaha.
Niyamo hi paranandaha.
Yamat kriyate budai.
Niyamat kriyate budai.
Sajatiya pravahascha.
Sajatiya pravahascha.
Vijatiya tiraskritihi.
Vijatiya tiraskritihi.
Niyamo hi paranando.
Niyamo hi paranando.
Niyamo hi paranando. Niyamat kriyate budaihi.
Niyamat kriyate budaihi.
So, Niyamaha according to Shankara Bhagavad Pada as a contemplative step is Sajatiya pravahaha cha vijatiya tiraskritihi. Sajatiya vijatiya. Sajatiya means thoughts of the same thing is called sajatiya vrittayaha. And vijatiya vrittayaha means thoughts of varied objects or varied things called vijatiya, the flow of thoughts of varied objects, varied things is called Vijatiya Vritti Pravahaha. And the flow of thoughts of this one and the same thing, same object, is called Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Sajatiya Nam Vritti Nam Pravahaha. Pravahaha means flow. Flow of what? Flow of vrittayaha, thoughts. And thoughts of what object? One and the same object. Continuously there is a flow of thoughts. And thoughts, object of all those continuously flowing thoughts is one and same object, means there is called sajatiya vritti pravahaha. If there's a continuous flow of thoughts always, and this continuous flow of thoughts, if the object of those thoughts is not one and the same, but different objects and different things, then that flow of thoughts is called Vijatiya Vritti Pravahaha. And what is Niyamaha here as a contemplative Niyama at a step here? Rule here, he says, Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha cha Vijatiya Tiraskritihi. There cannot be both simultaneously. The flow of thoughts of same object and the flow of thoughts of varied objects cannot be there simultaneously. If there is a sajatiya vritti pravaha, if there is a constant continuous flow of thoughts of one and the only object, same object, and there cannot be the flow of thoughts of different objects. Therefore, in the presence of one, the other cannot be there. If there is vijatiya vritti pravaha, there cannot be hajatiya vritti pravaha. You know very well. Therefore, and niyama here is sajatiya vritti pravaha and vijatiya vritti pravaha nitiraskritihi. So, sajatiya vritti pravaha mean what now? Continuous, there's a constant, continuous flow of thoughts of one and the only same object must be there. And what should be that object of the thought? The object of thought is not an object but the very subject. Object of thought is the very swarupam of the subject. Very swarupam of the subject means what? Very swarupam of the I. The truth of the knower. The reality of the knower. Or swarupam of the knower. The knower is none other than I. Therefore, truth or the reality or the nature, swarupam of I, the knower, is the object of thought. Therefore, we say here the meditator's swarupam itself being the object of thought, there is no difference between the meditator and the meditated. A difference is there. And how to understand what is the swarupam of the meditator? You have to listen to me carefully. Or what is the swarupam of the knower? What is swarupam of the I? With reference to the entire world, I am the knower. I am the knower. The world is an object of knowledge. If we say I am the knower, and I have even my body is an object of knowledge, which is part of the jagat. And my physiological functions are also what? Part of the subtle universe, also objects of knowledge. My subtle powers of knowledge and powers of organs of actions also objects of knowledge, because they are also part of subtle universe. And my own mind, if we take even all the thoughts, my memory is part of the subtle manifestation. Subtle universe only. All the varieties of thoughts which arise and resolve my mind, all those thoughts are also what? Objects of knowledge. But all those thoughts can be there only when there is something called I is manifest. When I am manifest. When I is manifest. The knowledge I am is there. All thoughts are also possible. But I alone is what? I alone am the knower. I is the knower. Every thought, other thought is what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, take I alone, and what is that? I am the knower, even that my thoughts are also objects of, other thoughts are all objects of knowledge. And that I, the knower, am actually the reality, Brahman. And how do I know that? How do I know that? Therefore, the Brahman, the consciousness, is the swarupam, the nature, or the truth, or the reality of the I. Like how light is the swarupam of the illuminator, truth of the illuminator, swarupam of the I. The consciousness is the swarupam of the I, the knower. We'll understand here. This example I told you many times. Again, you have to give the same example here. when you see the sun and the presence of the sun, the all the opaque world, the world of opaque objects shine. And we say, what is that which really illumines this whole universe? What is that in whose presence the world shines? In, because then we say, it is the sun. Therefore we'll say, sun is, who is the illuminator of the world? We can say sun is the illuminator of the world. But really speaking, we cannot say sun is the illuminator of the world, because sun illuminating or illumining is not an action on the part of the sun. Sun does not do any action of illuminating illumination to illumine the world. Sun does not do any action. Sun is just there. And in the mere presence of the sun, the whole jagat becomes illumined. Therefore, we say illumine, there is the world does not, that cannot shine by itself. Opaque world of objects cannot shine by itself. But it shines. That means what? There is illumination. The world of opaque objects is illumined because there is illumination. And illumination is, why? Because illuminator is. So the world of opaque objects cannot become illumined if there is no illumination. And illumination is not possible without the illuminator. Therefore, there is illuminator. And an illuminator without whose presence, without presence of which there cannot be illumination, without which there cannot be the illumined objects, which means that illuminator is the sunlight. Illuminator is the sun. When you say, you are resolving the illuminator in the sun. Therefore, the sunlight becomes the swarupam, nature of the illuminator. This is how you understand. And the truth of the illuminator is the sunlight. The reality of the illuminator is sunlight. The swarupam of the illuminator is the sunlight. Which means you resolve this illuminator sunlight. You just say, sun is, in the presence of the sun, your opaque objects shine. Similarly, when you say the whole world, including your body, mind, sense complex, is an object of knowledge, means the entire world of objects, which is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex, is an object of knowledge, means object of knowledge is possible because it is the known, isn't it? Because it's the known. The world is, world becomes the known. World is the known. Why? Because there is knowledge. Knowing. There is knowing. There is knowledge. Therefore, world becomes known. The world is experienced because there is an experience. And experience is there. The knowledge is there. Knowledge of the world is there. Experience of the world is there. Knowing of the world happens because there is a knower. And that knower is, who is the knower? We say, I, knower is I. There's no knower other than I. Therefore, what is the swarupam of the knower? Means knowing, if you know the swarupam of the I, you know the swarupam of the knower. I am the knower, and the swarupam I is the knower. The swarupam of I is the swarupam of the knower. Therefore, when you say, I the knower am consciousness. There's no knower. Actually speaking, I is not the knower. But there's no knower other than the I. I is not the knower, but there's no knower other than the I. And if you see what this I is actually, if you see, you have to say consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is not the knower, I, but there's no knower I other than consciousness. You understand this? You say you resolve the knower I in consciousness cognitively, and you understand consciousness as the truth or the reality, swarupam of I. Okay? Therefore, now this is, once you know this, and you can't, you, now you are dwelling upon that swarupam of I being consciousness, swarupam of knower being consciousness. Therefore, here this object of knowledge is the very swarupam of the meditator. Very swarupam of the meditator, the truth of the meditator, the reality of the meditator, existence of the meditator is none other, nothing but consciousness. And you, therefore, you say what now? The knower, I the knower, am the consciousness Brahma. I the meditator, am the limitless reality, the consciousness. I the meditator, am, or you can say, I the meditator is what? Reality, the consciousness. I the meditator is Brahman, the consciousness, existence. When you know that, you dwell upon the Swarupam, and all you understood this through Shravanam, you understood the fact. Through Mananam, you are very clear that the Swarupam of the knower, I, is consciousness. Now you constantly dwell upon the fact which you understood very clearly. I, the knower, I, the meditator, am consciousness Brahman. I, the meditator, am Brahman, the consciousness. I, the meditator, am the limitless reality, consciousness. When you continuously dwell upon that fact, it is not possible for one to dwell upon the fact has not yet been understood very well. That's why the fact has been already understood through Shravanam and Mananam. Now it's only Nididhyasanam, is only continuously, constantly you are dwelling upon the fact that you have understood very clearly. And when you're dwelling upon this fact, you are not, attention of your mind is totally held by this fact. Dwelling upon this fact, the attention of your mind is not available for any thinking of any other object. Therefore, no other object is thought of. No other object is now in your mind. There's no object exists for the one. Why no object is existing? Which means for the one who is dwelling upon one's own Swarupam, or dwelling upon the fact about one's own Swarupam being consciousness, what is totally held by this vritti, akandakara vritti, therefore it is not available for other thoughts. Other objects are, therefore, they're not thought of. This is called what now? Sajatiya vritti pravaha, means constant, continuous flow of thoughts of oneself, one and the same object of one's own self being Brahman, the consciousness. That alone is there. And because there is a continuously, it's a constant flow of thoughts of one's own Swarupam being Brahman, and attention of the mind being not available for any other object, naturally there is rejection of other thoughts involved in other objects. That rejection of, or rejection of other thoughts involved in other objects is called what? Vijatiya vritti pravaha tiraskritihi. So they made a madhyama padalopi samasa. Therefore, vijatiya vritti pravaha they have taken away. Vijatiya vritti pravaha tiraskritihi. Tiraskritihi means rejection, which is rejecting. Tiraskaraha means a masculine gender word. Tiraskaraha means rejecting, rejection. Tiraskaranam is a neuter gender word. Tiraskaranam, tiraskaraha, tiraskritihi. Opposite is what? Puraskaraha. Puraskaraha means award. Tiraskaraha means rejection. Non-award. Therefore, tiraskritihi, tiraskaraha, tiraskaram. We have words, neuter, masculine, feminine. Anyway, vijatiya tiraskritihi means what? Rejection of any other thought, of any other object, other than the thought involved in the thought involved in dwelling of one's own swarupam being Brahman. This is called Niyamaha. Hope you understood it. Sajati, in the presence of Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha, naturally there is what now? Rejection of Vijatiya Vrittis, flow of the thoughts of different, any other object cannot be there. Therefore, this is called what? Niyamaha. And when Niyamaha, and when this, when you are dwelling upon the, constantly dwelling upon the well understood fact through Shravanamanididhya Mananam, dwelling upon this fact of one's own real Swarupam being Brahman, the limitless reality, the consciousness, naturally, then what is there also is Para Anandaha. When you are contemplative, what you are is Paranandaha. You are fullness yourself. In contemplation, you are fullness. In contemplation also, you are fullness. Para Anandaha means you are absolute, you are absolutely limitlessness, you are absolutely fullness, or you are absolutely happiness yourself. Okay? So being contemplative is being fullness. Why? Because when you are dwelling upon your Swarupam, the fact of your Swarupam being Brahman, then the sense of inadequacy, the I sense is naturally resolved in that Swarupam. I sense being resolved in that Swarupam, the smallness or sense of inadequacy centered on I also is resolved in that fullness, in that Swarupam. That's when the I and the sense, I sense and the sense of inadequacy centered on I both are resolved in the Swarupam. What is there is only the reality which is of the nature of fullness. It is purely cognitive. Fullness means fullness is not something to be absolute happiness. Paranandaha means what? Absolute happiness. Absolute happiness means what? That which does not come and go. That which comes and goes is what? Kosha Anandaha or pleasure. You know, pleasure is called what now? Just simple, we can say the fraction of Ananda. Anandaha itself is means fullness. But Para Anandaha means the absolute happiness, you know, which is nothing but fullness, which does not come and go, which is already there naturally as the very Swarupam. Like how light does not come and go and depart of the sun. It is how that's how the sun is. Similarly, Paranandaha means the absolute happiness. What is absolute happiness? Absolute happiness is fullness, limitlessness. And what is it? It's very Swarupma of the Atma, very Swarupma of consciousness, which is the truth of the I, which is Swarupma of the I. And how is it there? It is there whenever you resolve your I sense, and whenever you resolve your I sense, naturally the sense of smallness and sense of inadequacy, say all any notion, the sense dot I also resolves. Yeah, whenever that all the wrong notions and on I is resolved, naturally what is there is the manifestation of fullness. What should I do for the fullness to manifest? What should I do for the happiness to manifest? This is the question we should ask here. What should I do for the absolute happiness to manifest? Absolute happiness is already there. It need not be created. Only thing is, it is not manifesting for you. It is there as very you, but it has to manifest. But how should it manifest? The absolute happiness will manifest only when the I sense is resolved. Only when all the notions centered on I also what? Become resolved. And for the notions centered on I to resolve, and for the very I sense to resolve, you should know what? This what? The swarupam of the I. The cognitive resolution of I sense and the notions centered on I will result in what? The manifestation of absolute happiness, the manifestation of fullness, anandaha. That happens when you are contemplative, when you are contemplating, when you are in contemplation, when you are meditating upon your own swarupam. How? Through Shravanam and Mananam, you've already understood the Swarupam of the knower I being consciousness. And Mananam also has helped you ascertain the fact. Now, you are, in order to make that well understood, clearly understood fact ascertained and unforgettable, now you are continuously dwelling upon that fact of the swarupam of the knower I being limitless consciousness. Now tell me, when you are dwelling, do you think your mind can still think of something else? No. That's called Vijatiya Tiraskritihi. And this is what is Niyamaha. And the Niyamaha, the practice of Niyamaha in the form of continuous, constant dwelling, continuously dwelling upon one's own Swarup, the fact of one's own Swarupam being limitless consciousness itself is what? The manifestation of fullness. And by wise people, okay, wise people mean those who know the truth, those who have done Shravanam and Mananam are the wise people here, Buddhaha. And by such wise people, Kriyate Niyamat. This Niyamaha, this discipline, this step of Niyamaha, in as a contemplative step of Niyamaha is followed by this, and this contemplation is practiced by, done by wise people. How? Niyamat Kriyate. Niyamat Kriyate means not that if you want this Sajatiya Vritti Pravaha should be there, means not once in a while, all the time, class is only 1 hour or 1.5 hour, 1 hour 15 minutes, once in a day or once in a week. But what you understood in the class must be there all the time. All the time means you must allot some time. It's like, no, then the question comes. I tell you how it is. Niyamat given regularly, all the time, the wise people dwell upon the well understood fact. Niyamat karanam, you know, doing it regularly or practicing this regularly. How? I tell you. For example, we have to focus on many things. Whatever we do, we have to do it attentively only. We can't just do carelessly. For example, before travel, we are very conscious of, we focus, we attention on certain things, and we pick up our tickets, we pick up our passports, everything. We keep them, and when we board the flight, we put the, we remember very well our passport and tickets, everything is safe in our bag, you know, in the cabin, everything we remember. That's all. Afterwards, the whole flight, you're not thinking of my passport, my ticket. You don't need to think of it. You'll forget about it. But you know very well, my passport and ticket are very safe and it's there. You know that very well. Then afterwards, you don't pay attention at all. Only when you, before going to the immigration, then you have to again pick up your passport. You know it is safe, kept safe and all that. Like that, when you're cooking also, what do you do? Okay, what all I need for cooking? I put the salt, I put this, and I put... While you're doing it, you think of it. Now, after you've finished cooking and all that, you do a whole day, don't think of that, I have cooked. Don't think of all the time. When you're doing something, your attention, you're focused in that work. And afterwards, you forget about it. I mean, you don't think about it. Don't forget, but you don't think about it. You don't pay attention to that. You don't forget also. It's still in your memory. You don't forget your cooking. You don't forget your eating. You don't forget things. They're all in your memory. But your attention is not paid to those things. It is not, so remembering things of day-to-day life, which are very important to live our lives, but without paying much attention to them, more than what they require. Giving only enough attention to them when they require. Other times, not paying attention to those things, but all the time focusing attention on this fact about your Swarupam being Param Brahma, limitless reality, the consciousness, is what? Contemplative step 2, which is known as Niyamaha. And when you are a contemplative, you are fullness. This is regularly followed by this step 2 called Niyamaha. The contour is also followed carefully, regularly by wise people. Which does not mean that you should stop doing other things. Okay, so Vijatiya Tiraskritihi means remembering our day-to-day work, but not paying attention to them when they need not be focused. Then thinking all the time, continuously, regularly, dwelling upon this fact about one Swarupam being Paramatma is Niyamaha. Then there is naturally manifestation of fullness. So being contemplative helps you resolve, have your I sense and the notions and on I resolve. And whenever there is resolution of I sins and other notions, there is manifestation of fullness. It is not something to be attained, it's only manifestation. Okay, this is step two. That is why all the sannyasis are supposed to be contemplative all the time, and thereby they are supposed to have the manifestation of fullness. That is why each name ends with what? Anandaha. Dayananda Saraswati. Ananda. Dayananda. Brahmatmananda. Paramarthananda. Paramatmananda. Atma Prakashananda. Rama Prakashananda. If you see, all Anyasi's names end with Ananda. Supposed to be contemplative all the time. Okay. Now we'll go to the next discipline called Tyagaha. Okay, now we have seen Yamaha and Nayamaha. Now we'll go to the third step called Tyagaha. This Tyagaha is not found in Patanjali's Eightfold Limbs of Yoga. But Tyagaha has two meanings again. Tyagaha is dedication, renunciation, giving up, etc. And the twofold tyaga sannyasas are there. One is vividisha sannyasaha and another one is vidvat sannyasaha. Vividisha sannyasaha is not, vividisha sannyasa means the people who become mature, who have purushartha nischayaha, and who are very clear about the end being moksha and knowledge itself being identical with the moksha, and thereby knowing the value of knowledge of the truth, who become totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And in order to be able to pursue knowledge, those are totally committed to the study of the scriptures. And thereby, those who try to live a life of contemplation, and such people with their adequate dispassion towards everything else, and they decide to take a life of sannyasa. And there is a ritual also performed in order to make a promise, no, to make themselves committed. And there's a ritual performed on a day, and then so formally they perform this ritual and they take to this life of sannyasa. Which means the word also is announced around, the people around are announced that this person, so and so, and hereafter will not be involved in any other obligated duties, and this person will be living a life of renunciate. And that life of renunciation is not to make others appreciate him, or not for fame or name or popularity. The only goal of the person is to all the time to be able to be contemplative, to study, to do shravanam, and to be involved in mananam, and to be contemplative, and also to share whatever the person knows with other people. Okay. That is the sannyasa lifestyle person is given to. That's called vividisha sannyasaha. Vividisha means vetum icha vividisha. Vetum icha vividisha. Desire to know is called vetum icha vividisha. Vividisha is a synonym of jignyasa. So just as jnatum icha jignyasa, vetum icha vividisha, vividisha sannyasaha. And such a one might have been a proper grihastha ashrami and lived a proper household life, And thereafter must have become, completed his worldly obligatory duties, and without having shirked his duties and responsibilities, having fulfilled all of them, being a householder also, one might have become a sannyasi. One is allowed to become a sannyasi to take to this ritual and then become a sannyasi. Otherwise, Vidisha sannyasi, okay? Otherwise, without having gone through the family life and remaining as a brahmachari, straight away skipping the ashramas, skipping the grihastha ashrama and also the vanaprastha ashrama, one can become straight away a sannyasi also. And such sannyasi is also called what? A naishtika brahmachari. No, is also what now, naishtika brahmachari means the one who becomes a sannyasi having skipped the ashrama. So without having skipped the ashramas also, having gone through the ashramas, having done one's duties properly, fulfilled one's duties, then as a mature person, when one person takes to the life of sannyasa, is also vividasha sannyasi. And without having gone through the family life also, skipping the ashrama straight away also, one can become a sannyasi. Such sannyasis are called vividisha sannyasinaha. That's how we all became sannyasis. Okay. But there is another sannyasi called vidvat sannyasi. See, shirking one's duties and one's responsibilities just for the sake of escaping from the problems of life, if one wants to become a sannyasi, then he is not a vividisha sannyasi. I had remembered it very well. Such sannyasi is not allowed in the shastra. So only shastroktam, everything, even for a grihastha to become sannyasi, or a brahmachari, a brahmacharini to become a sannyasi later on, everything must be based on the shastra's instructions and the injections. And that sannyasa is called what now? Vividisha sannyasaha. Thereafter, now we have other sannyasa called vidvat sannyasaha. Vidvat sannyasaha means, vidvan means a wise person, having lived a life of karma yoga or having gone through the vidisha sannyasa life, or living a life of sannyasi, somehow the person becomes what now? A brahmajnani, atmajnani. The person becomes a wise person. Having done shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam, following all the three steps systematically, regularly, seriously, being a householder or without being a householder, being a karma yogi, later on, becoming a sannyasi, vidisha sannyasi, or having gone through the such attitude mentally, sannyasa mentally, when a person becomes a wise person, one who remains rooted in the vision of one's own swarupam being Paramatma, thereby one who sees everything as Paramatma, such a wise person, is called vidvat sannyasi. And why? Because that vidvat, the wise person also is said to be a renunciate. What has the wise person renounced? In fact, he has not renounced everything. Everything has gone away from him. There is the I sense in the body, mind, sense complex, which got resolved, which remains naturally resolved for him cognitively. Thereby, all the wrong notions of the self are resolved. Thereby, there is no notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All these notions have gone. Therefore, there is no punyam and papam also for him. Therefore, there is no prarabdha, agami, sanchita, karmas also are for him. For him, all the time is what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Such a wise person also, one who has given up the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, through the vision of the self being free from doership and enjoyership, because of his wisdom, he is said to be a Vidvat Sannyasi. He has renounced all the wrong notions about the self. The wise person is the one who has renounced all the notions about the self. He has not renounced anything physically, but cognitively resolved the notions. So having the cognitive resolution of notions about the self is also what? Cognitively being a renunciate. And this person is called, a wise person is called Vidvat Sannyasi. And Vidvat Sannyasaha, the renunciation of all the wrong notions about the self, having them resolved, having resolved the essence in the vision of Swarupa Self being Brahman, is called Vidvat Sannyasaha, which is implied, which is meant by the Tyagaha, the fourth step, contemplative step in Shankara Bhagavatpada's work, this Aparoksha Anubhuti. Here, Vividisha Sannyasaha is not meant by the word Tyagaha, but Vidvat Sannyasaha is meant by the word Tyagaha here. So, Vidvat Sannyasaha is the Tyagaha, which is the fourth step. Third step in fourth contemplative step. So, let us see now. The wise person, the contemplative person is seen as a wise person here. So, Tyagaha, what is Tyagaha here? Prapancha rupasya chidatmatva avalokanat. Tyaga prapanchasya. Tyaga prapancha rupasya.
Tyaga prapancha rupasya.
Chidatmatvavalokanat. Tyaga prapancha rupasya.
Tyaga prapancha rupasya.
Chidatmatvavalokanat.
Chidatmatvavalokanat.
Tyago hi mahatam pujyah.
Tyago hi mahatam pujyah.
Sadyo mokshamayo yatah.
Sadyo mokshamayo yatah.
So, I have given you enough background for this verse. Now we'll see. Prapancha rupasya tyagaha. Tyagaha. What is tyagaha? Prapancha rupasya tyagaha is equal to tyagaha. Renunciation is equal to renunciation of the form universe. How can I renounce the form universe? It's like when I say renunciation of the name and form Voshan is renunciation with reference to Voshan. Means what? It is cognitive. You are not doing anything here. You are not changing the name. You are not undoing the Namarupa. You are not changing the Namarupa. You are not destroying the Namarupa. You are not pushing the Namarupa. You are not doing anything. But you only understand. What is your understanding? You see the Namarupa ocean. You see all the divisions of that one Namarupa ocean in the form of waves. You see all of them. You accept your perception without denying your perception. You only see they are all there. These divisions called waves are there. The name and form ocean is also very much there. I do perceive it, but it is as though. It is empirically real. It is relatively real. Absolutely, they are not. Absolutely, there is no way. There are no ways. There are divisions. There are no differences. There is no Namarupa ocean. Absolutely, what is there is only water. This vision of the truth of the ocean being water and thereby everything else being mithya, thereby not giving them the accountability, not taking them to be accountable is what is called a renunciation of the name and form ocean. No, it's a cognitive renunciation of name and form ocean, abiding the vision of the, abiding in the vision of the water, the truth. Similarly here, prapancha rupasya tyagaha is equal to tyagaha. You see the whole prapanchaha, because you have done panchakosha prakriya, you have understood what each layer of personality, and when you resolve the each layer of personality in its own cause, each prapancha also what now, you resolved in its own cause. Like that you have resolved the whole prapancha, you have resolved your entire body, mind and complex in the whole prapancha. And the whole prapancha you have resolved in what? Maya. Then you resolve the maya also is what? Now, in consciousness. Therefore, now you see the world, you see the differences, you need not undo anything. You need not destroy the world, you need not undo the world, you need not push aside the world, you cannot do anything actually here. You are not doing anything, you are seeing everything as they are, you are perceiving everything as it is. But you see the mithyatvam of everything. You understand that all these differences which are here, the whole Namarupa Prapancha which I am perceiving, I am experiencing, this is there, but it is not absolutely real. It is only empirically real. It is relatively real. But what if it is really not? It is not really. It is as though. The universe is as though, everything here is as though, and what is real, absolutely real, is Brahman, myself, Brahma, the consciousness. You know? Therefore, this is cognitively resolving the entire Namarupa Prapancha. Prapancha is the renunciation of cognitively resolving the Namarupa Prapancha in the vision of the non-duality of reality is called Yagaha. So how can resolve the universe here? That is said in the next word. Chit Atmatva Avalokanat. Avalokanam means seeing clearly. Lokanam Lochanam means eye and seeing. Lokanam means looking. And avalokanam means seeing through. Clearly seeing. No, you have to see more than what your eyes can see. That is called what? Avalokanam. Through proper understanding. Proper understanding is called avalokanam. Careful vision is called avalokanam. Doubt-free vision is called avalokanam. Therefore, avalokanat, due to the clear doubt-free vision of the consciousness being the true, the self. Atma means what? All pervasive reality. All pervasive reality is called Atma. And that, what is it, all pervasive reality? Chit, the consciousness. Consciousness being the only all pervasive reality. And avalokanat, due to the vision of, clear doubt-free vision of the consciousness being the only all-pervasive reality. Or in that vision, due to that vision, naturally you cognitively resolve the whole Namarupa Prapancha being non-countable and mithya. And you see, this vision of non-duality of the reality being the all-pervasive reality being consciousness, and thereby resolving the universe as mithya, is called tyagaha. And this what is tyagaha? Once you resolve the whole jagat as mithya in satyam brahma, then the tyagaha is highly pujya, highly revered. Such renunciation, such wisdom is the renunciation here. Wisdom, no, expression of wisdom is the renunciation here. How does the wisdom become expressed? When you express your wisdom means, not through speaking, but the whole, how you handle the life, how you see the whole world, how you take to situations. Everything expressed by expression of your vision of fullness. And in fact, when you express your fullness, the expression of wisdom is an expression of fullness, and expression of fullness is what manifestation of love, non-fault finding, accommodation. No, that is called what? The tyaga, renunciation, is really highly revered for all the great people. All the wise people revere such expression of wisdom in the form of, such renunciation is highly revered. And here, sadhyaha mokshamayaha. Why it is revered? Such renunciation is highly respected and revered, honored, because sadhyaha mokshamayaha, such vision of the universe as mithya is what? When you are seeing the whole universe as mithya, means for you all the actions are mithya, the results of actions are mithya, the experiences are mithya, the results of experience are mithya, The pains are mithya, pleasures are mithya, everything is mithya. And we can see everything as mithya, as though. What is as though? When you have the vision of what is real and the perception of what is as though cannot cause any, cannot disturb your shantihi, which we saw yesterday. Cannot disturb your shanti. And that have enjoying that undisturbed shanti, absolute shanti, because of reveling in fullness, through the vision of the oneness of reality, having resolved the jagat as mithya, is what? Freedom from all limitations. Not being disturbed is mokshaha. Free. Something disturbs you means you are bound. Nothing can disturb you means you are free. Therefore, such undisturbed peace is possible only when you really see everything as mithya. You can see everything as mithya only when your mind abides in the vision of the self being all-pervasive reality, vision of the all-pervasive reality being consciousness. Therefore, such renunciation is nothing but moksha. Therefore, it is highly revered. Third step itself is very beautiful, isn't it?
What exactly is Sadhya Moksha Maya?
Sadhya means that vision itself is moksha. Sadhya means at once. At once means what? Immediately. At once means what? Once you have this vision, the very vision is moksha. This vision of universe being mithya, the perception of universe as mithya, through the vision of the all-pervasive reality being consciousness, itself is what? Itself is the undisturbed absolute peace, which is moksha. That's how moksha is. If nothing disturbs you, means you are free. That's why at once, the Sadhya has simply used that to adjust the meter, really speaking. That very vision, the Tyagaha is Mokshaha, you have to say. Okay? That's called Mokshamayaha. He says Satcha Tyaga. First sentence says, what is Tyagaha? Prapancha Rupasya Tyagaha is equal to third step. Prapancha Rupasya Tyagaha is the number three step. Okay. How is it possible? Chid Atmatva Avalokanat. What is that which gives you, which helps you resolve the universe cognitively as mithya? It is the vision of, the clear, doubt-free vision of the all-pervasive, only reality being consciousness. The vision is there. Because of the vision of the truth, you are able to resolve the prapancha in the truth. When resolved means it is not there anymore. You have resolved the ocean, name Namarupa ocean means it is not there. Then what is there for you is water. Once you resolve the universe means what is there for you is only Paramatma, the Chaitanya. And you see everything, everywhere, your cognitive vision is what? Is Paramatma only. Paramatma Darshanam. Yesterday also we saw the same thing in that Atabodha class. And such Tyagaha, that's called renunciation. It's called Vidvat Sanyasaha, Vidvat Tyagaha. And that Tyagaha is highly revered by all the great people. Why? Because such renunciation itself is an expression of wisdom. An expression of wisdom is what? Resolving the universe in reality, which of reality itself is renunciation of the Namarupa universe, which itself is moksha. Expression of wisdom is there is undisturbed absolute peace. That's how moksha is. Why it is revered? Because it is moksha. Sadhyaha mokshamayaha. At once it is the moksha. That is how the moksha is. This is the moksha swarupam. This is swarupam of the moksha. Mokshamayaha means what? This is what is being free. Mokshamayaha means that is how freedom is. The freedom is in the form of one's expression of wisdom, and which is in the form of the resolution of the Namarupa universe, renunciation of universe, Namarupa universe, through cognitive resolution in the vision of the only reality being, all productivity being consciousness. The next step is silence. Now, understand the three types of silence. And what silence is meant here, that we'll see beautifully next week.
Swamiji, okay. I mean, if we just stop it here, I really don't understand that last one. Just that last, I don't quite get that last point. From the Sanskrit here. Just if you go, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Which one?
Prapancha rupasya tyagaha.
Yeah.
Chidatma.
Pitiji, prapancha rupasya tyagaha is equal to tyagaha. The renunciation is renunciation of the form of the universe.
Okay.
Renunciation of the form of the universe is tyaga.
Okay,
what does it mean here? Let me tell you first. If we say samudra rupasya tyagaha, take it very clearly. Samudra rupasya tyagaha means, what is the ocean? H2O plus name and form is equal to ocean. Isn't it? Water, the H2O, plus name and form ocean is equal to ocean. Is it true or not?
Correct.
Now, what do you do next step? Name and form ocean minus H2O is equal to what?
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero.
That says zero. Then, H2O minus name and form ocean is equal to what?
H2O.
And now, what is the truth here? H2O is the reality, or the name and form is the reality. What is dependent? What is independent? H2O has independent existence. Name and form ocean has dependent existence. Therefore, what is real? What is as though? Water is real. Name and form is as though. Therefore, now you say, what is there is only H2O. The name and form is as though. When you say, you are not doing anything physically, you are intellectually, you are resolving the name and form ocean in the water. And when you resolve cognitively, intellectually, the name and form ocean, you next step, what you say is, oh, what is there is only water, just the water. This is called what? Samudra rupasya tyagaha. And this renunciation of the form ocean in the resolving it in its truth. How is it possible for you? Only when you see jalatmatva avalokanat. Only when you see the all pervasive only reality with reference to ocean being H2O. Without that vision, you cannot resolve the samudra rupasya tyaga. See that, so? Prapancha rupasya tyagaha, renunciation of the form universe, the name universe, you can do only when you cognitively resolve the prapancha. In what? In consciousness, the only reality, only when you have the vision of, clear vision of the all-pervasive, only reality being consciousness. So what is prapanchaha? Prapanchaha is consciousness plus name and form universe is equal to prapanchaha. So name and form prapanchaha minus consciousness is equal to zero. Therefore prapanchaha consciousness minus name and form prapanchaha is equal to consciousness. And what is dependent, what is independent? Consciousness has independent existence. Name and form have dependent existence. Therefore, the name and form is what as though. Consciousness is what is the reality. This is how, now, through the clear doubtful vision of the all pervasive reality being consciousness, resolution of the form of the universe in its truth is called renunciation of the form of the universe.
That's the jump.
Yes.
That's the jump. This, suddenly, first we're talking about prapancha, suddenly we're talking about atma. We talk first, we're saying it's the resolution of the form of prapancha, then suddenly we are saying, clearly, seeing clearly the
consciousness. What he says is, what is renunciation? He says, prapancha rupasya tyagaha is equal to tyaga. But how does it happen? What is the hetu? What is the hetvarte panchami?
Yeah.
What support? Because of which support you are able to do that? You are in which wisdom? That which vision? That is said in the next line. Chit atmatva avalokanat prapancha rupasya tyagaha. You would have put that way also, no problem. Chit atmatva avalokanam first, then prapancha rupasya tyagaha second. Clear? Still not clear?
So the Atman means this Atman. Here, this Atman?
Yeah. Atma means all pervasive reality being consciousness. Atma, yeah. Atma means all pervasive reality.
It doesn't mean in this case myself.
Pitaji, all pervasive reality is available for recognition in your own mind as yourself. Which without having recognized the all-pervasive reality being conscious, reality as your own self, in your own mind, as yourself, as consciousness, you cannot see the consciousness being the only all-pervasive reality outside. If you know what consciousness is, then you can understand there's no other reality other than consciousness.
And that's how it resolves.
Yeah.
The form resolves.
Yeah, see.
When you see the only reality.
Now we understand. See, now we are, it's a contemplation, isn't it? That's why it's two things, Pitaji. It's a step one. First step is what? All time you dwell upon. Isn't it? The third step is what now? Yaga is the third step. In Yamaha, Niyamaha. You have to see what was Niyama. Anyway, what was Niyama? What is Yama? Those steps are very clear. So in the third step, what you are doing? You have understood the reality of the universe as what? As the reality of yourself.
Okay.
Already you understood. And that is why to ascertain that reality of yourself you are constantly dwelling upon, which is called Niyama, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that Niyama, now because it is so clear now for you, okay, Niyama leads to what? Tyaga. Got it now?
Yeah.
Because then you don't see, you don't talk about the same Atma. Atma means what? The reality is what? My Swarup means reality. I am reality myself. I am reality myself means what is I for you? is not the embodiment form, isn't it? I am Aham Brahmasmi. And therefore, I am reality means I am Atma, all pervasive reality. And I see the whole only Atma everywhere afterwards, cognitively. Not through physical eyes. That is why we say the eye of knowledge. Yesterday also we saw that. Jnana Chakshush.
So what is it? This is Chit Atma Tva.
Chit Atmatva. Atmatva means, Atmatvam means all pervasiveness.
Ness.
Yes.
So the Tva means?
Atma means all pervasive. Atmatvam means all pervasiveness.
Ness. Okay.
Chid Atmatva means all pervasiveness of consciousness. That's the only reality.
Okay.
Due to the vision of Avalokanam is vision, clear vision. Avalokanat Hetvarte Panchami. Due to the vision of the all consciousness being the only all pervasive reality. Without this vision, you cannot resolve the Prapancha Rupa. And how do you have the vision of the all consciousness beyond all pervasive reality? You already have seen the reality as yourself. First you see the reality in yourself, then you dwell upon it, ascertain it, now you understand the reality, now you see the whole universe also what now, resolve the whole universe also later on. The steps are so beautiful. Hope you understand it.
Yeah.
Are you all there?
The problem is not joining them up. You know.
Now it's
there. Joined up, really.
That's why it took so long to explain this. I repeated so many things.
Yeah.
Because I also explained what is Vidisha Sannyasaha and what is Vidvat Sannyasaha. Because the Tyagaha here implies Sannyasaha.
Can I ask something, Swamini?
Yes.
You said, resolving the Pancha Kosha in Maya is resolving it in consciousness. Is that right? Did I hear correctly?
No. What I said, you resolve the whole universe in Maya and resolve the Maya also in consciousness.
Yes, that's what I thought. And so, are they two distinct steps? Resolving the whole universe in Maya and then Maya in consciousness?
No. Actually, no, there's two ways. You can simply resolve the whole universe as Mithya.
Okay.
But we also say, because we also refer to the other state of mind, isn't it?
No,
you have to account for, when the universe is unmanifest universe, this way.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe unmanifest, and what is it? It is just the consciousness. Unmanifest universe is what? Pure consciousness. Then you want, what do you call it? Is a power. It remains as power of consciousness. Just use the word power, that's all. Have you cleared a doubt, Rajaji?
Yes, you have. Yeah. Thank you.
So, Hachityagaha, he indeed is what? Mahatam Pujyaha. This is revered for the wise people. Why? Because Yataha. Such tyagaha is satyaha mokshameha. It's immediate freedom. It is jivan muktihi. Satyaha mokshameha means, Pataji, you can take it as jivan muktihi.
So, mahatam pujaha is what exactly?
Yeah, pujaha means tyagaha is equal to pujaha. That such renunciation. Renunciation means what? Resolution of universe as mithya in the truth, in its reality, is actually renunciation of the form of the universe, and which is called tyaga, which is renunciation of the form of the universe as mithya in its truth, which is highly, such vision is a revered vision. Honored vision. Why? Because having such vision itself is what? Being free.
Having
being endowed with such vision of the universe is as universe being as though, you know, is what? Is moksha, freedom.
Yeah.
That's what is it.
What is mahatam?
Mahatam is as possessive of mahan. You know, mahan, mahanto, mahantaha, mahantam, mahatam, mahataha, mahata, mahatbhya, mahatbhihi, mahate, mahatbhya, mahatbhya, mahataha, mahatbhya, mahatbhya, mahataha, mahatbhya, mahatoho, mahatam. Shashti Bahuvachanam. Of the great, for the great. For the great means what? For those who are wise, or jnanis. Such a pronunciation is highly revered by jnanis. Revered for them, it is highly revered vision. Such a tyaga is revered tyaga. Such vision is revered for wise people. Why? Because such being endowed with that vision itself is moksha. There is no other moksha. Moksha is nothing but be having a correct vision. Right vision. The correct vision of the truth gives you, you know, right perception. Vision of the truth results in right perception. And right perception is what? Freedom. Okay. Finished? Doubts are gone? Doubts are there, we'll see again next class. It's a beautiful text. I think I have to, once I finish all the steps, I'll see how each step he... You have to see what should be the first, what should be the next. The third step is not possible without the second step. Second is not possible without the first. That beauty we'll see again after I finish everything.
Thank you, Swamini.
I mean, some sense, really want to, I want another question. You said, I is not the knower. You see, because this, I mean, is that word sakshi? See, this sakshi, that's what I'm saying, it's a separate question. I just am very confused about
the sakshi. No problem, Vidaji.
Huh?
I am the knower. I is the knower. Okay, when you say I means what? When you say I, consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness.
Yeah, but see, because
the knower is what? Sakshi.
From all the prakriya, we only arrive at sakshi, no?
No, actually, sakshi, Tamadaji, again, consciousness is not the sakshi, but the sakshi is consciousness.
But we end up with all the best analysis. Or logic would take us to sakshi, yeah?
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? Is there any merit in saying...
Sakshi, so what, actually, what is the swarupam of the sakshi? That's why I gave the example of what swarupam of the illuminator gave. Swarupam of sakshi. The nature of sakshi. In what form the sakshi is.
But is the sakshi being mithya any better than any other mithya identification?
Everything you I don't know. There's no sakshi. Don't even say sakshi means what? Sakshi is only from the standpoint of the sakshya, isn't it? There's no sakshi in this. Is all for understanding steps. There's no sakshi really speaking.
No.
It just gets finer and finer.
Okay, don't worry. Don't get confused. Just take some. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.